The boys are in the starting stalls. Moods, Mytho, Rog, and the Rain Man. Stand by for a start for Moody on the Mic.
We're back on Moody on the Mic for another week. And for all you sickos out there who download the podcast straight away on a Wednesday night, yes, we are a little bit later. It's 20 past 7 on Thursday morning, but it's okay because one of us is a horse trainer. A couple of us have got young kids, and the other one's Mytho, who lives on a sweet farm and works at another sweet farm with baby horses everywhere. So we're not in too bad a mood. Well, actually, Mood, you are. You're a little bit shitty this morning. I would have thought you'd be up and about. You've been up since bloody 3 a.m. This is prime time for Peter Moody.
Yeah, prime time for me. Disappointed to hear the pitter-patter on the roof last night, and had about 7 or 8 mil here at Pakenham this morning, and I see likewise at Mornington, so I haven't heard a report from Caulfield yet. Just disappointing going into one of our big weeks of the year, and the rain forecast Thursday, Friday, and possibly Saturday. So let's hope they get it wrong. But looking forward to great racing this weekend.
And what does that do, Rain Man? Because you've said publicly here that Moods doesn't have a wet tracker. I can think of one.
Yeah, well, we know Moods' horses prefer things on top of the ground. Hopefully, I wish I win. Who is a Kiwi might be a bit of an exception, but I'm sure we'll get into that later in the show. But it is a shame that we normally in Melbourne we've been fairly lucky. Really, we don't have the Sydney situation where basically every time they run a Group One race in Sydney, it's a heavy 10. We've been fairly lucky in Melbourne, so hopefully that continues and then Caulfield races in a good state on Saturday.
Hey, Mytho, you'd be pretty up and about. I know it's 7:15 and you're slamming down a coffee pretty quickly, but you tipped people to back Maximal at 100-1 for the Caulfield Cup a few weeks ago. Another Group 1 placing, running second in the Turnbull on the weekend, and I see Maximal is now a $14 chance for the Caulfield Cup. So obviously you can't eat odds, but it's a good sign because if we get a dry track, we might finally see the Maximal that you've been banging on about for 12 months.
Yeah, I've only just stopped kicking the cat. Dirty, rotten, stinking, smoking Romans bobbing up and winning a weight for age Group 1 race. Well done to Connections, but gee, it would have been nice to get the son of Frankel over the line, wouldn't it? We've shown a bit of faith in him, and I tell you who's never lost faith is John O'Shea, who I should pay credit to, because he was the one that just kept on shaking his head and saying, no, I will not have it. This horse is a Group 1 horse all over. He oozes class and talent, and we saw a fair bit of it there at Flemington on Saturday, but couldn't quite get over the line. Hopefully, the Caulfield Cup and a few of our Moody on the Mic listeners have got that 100-1 ticket. That's where he heads next. So pray for dry ground next week, and we might get a run for our money.
Moody, you obviously want dry ground at Caulfield this weekend, maybe a little bit of rain next Wednesday for Boogie Dancer and the Thousand Guineas. But yesterday you had a little bit of concern over the track at Sale when Invincible Caviar returned to the action, but she seemed to go quite well and recorded a second win on the trot. So that's now two wins from three race starts, 12 months between it. And well, there's absolutely no doubt now she's the best progeny of Black Caviar, but how good she is, well, I suppose, remains to be seen.
Yeah, exactly. We weren't convinced about her going on that shifting surface at Sale yesterday, but listen, she went and got the job done. God bless her. And, you know, she's slowly starting to put a little run together, albeit 13 months apart. But we've won a maiden and a benchmark 70 at Sale, so we're not getting ahead of ourselves. But she's doing a good job, and I'm sure we can build on her record.
She's a beautiful, strong filly. Does she remind you a little bit in physique of Black Caviar?
Yeah, well, she's the first one of her foals that actually does, Anthony. She's, like you said, she's a big, strong girl. She's probably about 40 or 50 kilos lighter than a mother at this stage, but, you know, she's a similar physique, lovely striking big mare, and I think she will catch a mother in size probably in another 12 months. So, and like mum in a lot of the ways, only third trip to the races yesterday, is still a little bit bullet of gaitish, probably just needs to learn to harness a bit of energy. And, you know, she's definitely a metropolitan class filly. We've seen that, her only run in town, form stacked up very good out of that. I think it was Argentia and Viviana, who are both stakes quality fillies, beat her at her only start in town, and now she's won two in the bush. So I would imagine she'll probably work back towards the city now.
And he's just stapling Mitho's bills together there, if you're wondering what the clicking sound is. But do you try and space her runs a bit, Moods, because she has had such a long break. And obviously, as we know from Black Caviar days, you know, she was prone to the odd mishap.
Yeah, oh, we'll just let her guide us along. So, you know, first run for 13 months, you know, I would imagine the next 3 weeks or so we'll find a similar type race to build on it. You know, she's only a low-grade benchmark horse, so... you know, might be a little ratings race at Flemington there, something over Cup Week or the likes, or all those big country cup meetings have a heap of good races on them as well. So there'll be a few options going forward.
Well, you can imagine if she runs during Cup Week, the bandwagon social set that only go to the races once a year will just jump on there. Hey, Luke Nolan, on the back of that win yesterday, he's obviously got the ride on I Wish I Win. There was an article on racing.com where he talks about how, the change, he's obviously riding in some great form, and he said it was a stern talking to from Peter Moody that set him on the course and back towards his best. Did you call him a sookie fuck, or was it a similar spray to what you give Mitho here on a weekly basis?
I can't recall, actually. Luke and I have a few stern words on quite a few occasions, but the reason we have such a great relationship, we quickly move on from it. We all make mistakes as long as we learn from them, but... I said a few weeks back, you know, Luke's riding unbelievably well, even when he was fat and not trying, he's riding well, but now he's fit and tightened up and trimmed up. I suggested to his wife she needs to go and buy a couple more houses or another farm because I love my jockeys being hungry and having to pay a lot of bills. And with interest rates going up, I'd like him to have a big debt over his head and keep him working hard, because I think it's a beautiful thing.
You do have a similar relationship with a lot of people where, you know, you just say what you think and then you move on, because I get asked so often, do Mitho and Moods hate each other?
Oh, well, you've got to have a thick skin around us, I'd imagine. But Mitho and I have a great relationship, but we voice our opinions to one another. But likewise, and similar to my relationship with Luke Nolan, we have our say and then we get on with life. And it's just sometimes some of it's publicly on this podcast.
And Rayman, you're on the receiving end of one last week too, weren't you?
Oh, I copped it. I cop a gobful from Moods most weeks. I don't consider it a working week if I don't cop a spray from Moods. So we've got a bit of business to talk after this podcast. So I'm looking forward to copping a few.
And he's already like a bear with a sore head with that pitter patter of raindrops on the roof.
I may as well just double down. When he's grumpy, you just go in again. Go in for another shot.
And your name's Rain Man. You're in all sorts of trouble after the show.
I might just let the record keep running, and if it's any good, we'll just put it as an Easter egg at the back end of the podcast. Rain Man v. Moody. The showdown.
To be the best, you have to beat the best. And for the past 100 years, the world's best field assembles on this stretch of turf in a battle for ultimate glory. Where the roar of the valley is felt in all corners of our nation. Where champions become legends. Farlap, Kingston Town, and the mighty Mare Winx. Experience 100 years of legendary at the Ladbrokes Cox Plate. Australia's best race. Visit thevalley.com.au.
Spring racing is in the air, so why not modify the excitement with a Ladbrokes Same Race Multi? To build a Same Race Multi, head to your chosen race, find the Same Race Multi tab, and pick 2 to 4 runners to finish anywhere inside the top 4. Combine multiple runners from the same race to get even greater odds, and get the best Same Race Multi coverage with more races than ever before. Spring racing is in the air. Ladbroke it! T's and C's apply. See website for details. Gamble responsibly. Call 1-800-858-858.
Okay, 3 big group ones in Melbourne. Corporal Guineas Day is one of the absolute best days on the calendar. And I dare say that Ran Man could not be more excited.
Yeah, you couldn't be more right, Rog. It's one of the great cards of racing in this country. And this Ned's Mind and Power is it's basically a dress rehearsal for the Ladbrokes Cox Plate. Animo, the favourite, $2.30. Good support early for Zaki. It's the market mover, $4.80. I'm Thunderstruck's there at $6. Alligator Blood, the Underwood Stakes winner, $6.50. Maunga's there at $12. Mr. Brightside, $16. And Benno, $26. Nonconformist, $67. Round out a very, very high quality field. It's almost sort of a rematch of the Underwood Stakes, but you throw in the fresh blood that is Animo. And I am with Animo here, the classy four-year-old. The big concern with Animo is the fact that he was lame after that win in the George Main Stakes, but I've got faith in James Cummings and the Godolphin operation that they would not have this horse here at the races. He's just too valuable to play silly buggers with. So unless they were extremely confident that he was at his very top, they would not have him here at the races on Saturday. And I just think his two wins this preparation have been very, very good. And we saw last prep when he did get out to 2,000 metres for that Rose Hill Guineas, he went to another level. I think we could see that here on Saturday. He's drawn perfectly from Barrier 3 with James McDonald in the saddle. Should be able to settle just behind the speed there. And for me, just of all the horses in this field, he's the one that still has the scope to improve. And even if he doesn't improve, if he sort of remains at the level he's been at, he will still prove very tough to beat. So I'm with Animo here. I think he's a deserving favourite. I think he'll stamp himself as the clear favourite for the Ladbrokes Cocker Plate.
I was asked the other day whether we were contractually bound to call it the Ladbrokes Cocker Plate. And I'm like, no, we're not. Rayman works for Ladbrokes, so he obviously will. And then he says it so much that it's just become part of everyone else's vocabulary. Like if you go to France, you might pick up a bit of French. So I agree. This is a preview of the Ladbrokes Cocks Plate in the same way we had a preview of the Everest with the shorts in Sydney the other week. And I reckon Zaki went around in this race last year, $1.28 and got rolled. I'm not going to go with Zaki. I do think he's passed his best. I don't think I'm Thunderstruck. He's going to run a 2,000 strong. Questions over Alligator Blood as well. And so I'm with you, Rayman. Animo is the one that we know is going to run the troop. We know he's a class horse. And I'm happy to take the short price about him because he is so adaptable on all surfaces as well. So I don't see a point in betting around him.
Roger, it's a bit the way they it just rolled off the tongue, the Colgate Optic White. It just became a part of the racing vernacular, didn't it? That
everyone, one of the great race names.
Loved and misses so much. What are we calling this? The Neds, Might and Power Stakes, which is really... the Caulfield Stakes. It's been long known
as the Ladbrokes Stakes as well. At one point,
was it? Okay, well, we'll give it its full title: the Neds Might and Power Caulfield Stakes. Has to be Animo, and I like your summation there, Rain Man. It's a matter of whether or not you trust the Godolphin team and James Cummings to get this right, because that's the only niggle. I don't think bookies at $2.30 are really factoring that into the price. They're expecting this horse to turn up in tip-top shape as well, and you're not getting any sort of spoil for that risk, which is the risk that you're probably not shopping at value at $2.30. But he looks like he's the best horse in the country. He's 2 for 2 this preparation, and looks like he's developed from 3 to 4 to being that superstar weight for age horse that we're probably craving for. Alligator Blood, going to be fascinating to see if he gets the 2,000 metres. I reckon he will. I reckon he'll be really giving hard on the line and make this contest and take your pick for third. But yeah, Animo and Alligator Blood to Quinella this race with Animo in front.
Yeah, well, it's hard to make an argument for anything that finished behind Alligator Blood at Sandown to suggest they're going to be beating him here, I would have thought. So I'm pretty much in agreement. If the real Animo turns up, he's going to be hard to beat. But I dropped off the Blood last time. I was with him in the Maccabi. I thought I'm Thunderstruck to get him at 1,800, but God, he showed good courage. And I just reckon with that good, tough run under his belt, just tactically, he might be better suited around Caulfield than Animo, who's coming off probably a slightly softer grounding in winning the George Main and then with that little hiccup with the way he pulled up. So I'm with the same Quinella, but I'm just going to tweak it a bit and say Alligator Blood. The dynamics of Caulfield might enable him to get 2,000. And just with that little shadow with Animo, I'm not doubting James Cummings or Team Godolphin at all. He's a very valuable horse. They wouldn't be risking anything. But I just think with that toughness of his last couple of runs, Alligator Blood might just have that fitness edge on him on Saturday.
Ray, man, have you got Alligator Blood second?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah, same. So there you go, listeners. There's all four of us with the same Quinella. Take it as you wish. Let's move on now to the stallion-making race. The Caulfield Guineas, a classic every year. And speaking of, you know, great stallions, Rayman, give us the market.
Golden Mile, the favourite for Godolphin. Godolphin got a very strong hand at Caulfield on Saturday. And Golden Mile is $2.70. Berkeley Square, $5. Tijuana, $9. They're the only horses at single figure odds. Peter Moody, Luke Nolan, Anthony Mithen combined with Mullane, who is $20, who we're hoping for that dry track for. And it's a race with a fairly long tail, according to the market. A lot of horses here with a big price. But I found it's a fairly interesting addition to the Caulfield Guineas. I don't think it's the most star-studded Caulfield Guineas we've seen in recent times, but it's still a really interesting betting race. And I think the market's got it just about right with the top three in betting here. We know that in recent times that the Golden Rose form line has proven to be the strongest form line heading into the Caulfield Guineas. And I do have Golden Mile on top here. He was very good in that Ming Dynasty where he won by 3.5 lengths in a dominant performance and certainly not disgraced in the Golden Rose last start behind Jackano there. Another horse that's just mapped to gets a dream run in transit here. Barrier 5, James McDonald in the saddle. I'm going to stick with the Sydney form here and go with Golden Mile. I'm really interested in Berkeley Square, though. It'd be a great story. There's a really good piece on Ladbrokes social media channels at the moment about Berkeley Square and Dan O'Sullivan, his trainer, who's chasing his first Group 1 victory. Just a really likeable trainer, and Berkeley Square is a really likeable horse. He was set a very big task by Craig Williams in the Exford Plate last start, and he's still got the job done. He ran some really impressive late sectionals. So he's the horse that could potentially be the big improver here for me. So Golden Mile from Berkeley Square for me. I think the market's got it right.
And that's all we have time for on this episode of Moody on the Mic. Thanks very much, Rayman. We never know whether it's a star-studded edition or not. I agree, it doesn't look so at the moment, but you never know what's going to come out of it. They are all fairly lightly raced. I think I'm a bit confused whether it's Berkeley Square or Barclay Square because it's spelled Berkeley, but Matt Hill called it Barclay Square in the Exford Plate, and I do trust Matty. That win in the Exford Plate was something. I mean, he was in a world of trouble, took a picture of a ride from Craig Williams to get him into the clear, and he was just super when he had the run. If that had come sooner, he'd have absolutely spanked him. And the way he worked sort of to and through the line suggests he's going to love the mile. As long as he doesn't get caught up too far back, which is the risk with those sort of horses, then, you know, I reckon he is the one to win it. And he will be our 2022 Caulfield Guineas champion.
No one's mentioned Tijuana.
Tijuana?
Oh, sorry. Just while we were going with pronunciations. There's just some subtle humour for those that are listening.
I knew what you were doing there, Mitha.
Yeah, did you like that? Look, no. I think I said a few weeks ago that the Caulfield Guineas winner will come out of the Golden Rose, maybe by default with AF Cabin. It was when we were all absolutely salivating over AF Cabin's performance last start there at Caulfield in the driving rain. But, I've got a feeling that Golden Mile is the one to watch here. Drawn well, J-Mac up. And as Rainman points out, it's not necessarily the deepest Caulfield Guineas, but nonetheless, there's probably five in it that could trouble the scorers here, including our boy Mullane, which I'll be very interested to hear Peter's thoughts on. We need a dry track. Let's assume that we get one and we run. If he does, I'd love to hear Peter's opinion.
If the track's dry and Mullane goes to the races, I think he's an excellent chance and a great each way chance. He's in great order, this colt. I've never hidden my opinion of him. He just needs a firm deck. I will be discussing options with connections in the next 48 hours to whether the horse takes his place. And my line of thinking would be he won't if the track is affected. I have serious concerns there because I've seen him work brilliantly on the top of the ground. And he just doesn't work or race as well when the track is affected. So if he takes his place, I expect him to be right in the mix, Mullane. Alternatively, it is an unusual Caulfield Guineas because there's not a Group 1 winning colt in the race, bearing in mind that most of our two-year-old features last season were won by fillies, and Jackano, who rightly won the Golden Rose the other day, is now going to be freshened for the what's that race they ran in Sydney, Rainman?
The Everest,
that's it. Yeah, so you got to respect Golden Mile's form. He looks a nice horse. He was very good. He was ridden a bit closer the other day in the Golden Rose, which was a little unusual. But I'm with Berkeley Square. I just think he's had the experience at Caulfield. I thought his run the other day was probably a little bit, his win was a little bit arrogant by Craig Williams. He set him a task and he overcame it and did a hell of a job. So if Mullane turns up, back him each way all day. Berkeley Square on top for me.
Has he been to Caulfield? Pardon my ignorance here. I should know the answer to that. But just given that he's a big sort of long striding horse.
Been to Caulfield and suffered one defeat. His only defeat at the hands of one of the fillies that's favourite for the 1,000 guineas on
Boogie
Dancer.
That's right. Yeah. So that might present a bit of a challenge for Berkeley Square.
Boogie Dancer form. That's what we're all about. All right. The final Group One on the program on Saturday is the Toorak Handicap, and there's an easing favourite who's very close to our hearts right there.
Yeah, we're easing somewhat, Rog, but he was well backed early when the market opened. 3.20, got as short as 2.60, back out to $2.80 now. Still a dominant favourite for a two-ruck handicap. I wish I win. Duvalu, second line of betting at $8.50. Military Experts, $9. Gentleman Roy, $9.50. But it's all about one horse for us, at least, in the two-ruck handicap. I've been basically waiting for this moment the entire spring, ever since that I Wish I Win's debut, when it was the Toorak Handicap was going to be the race. And so I'm pretty excited. I don't need to talk too much about it. We'll want to hear what Moods thinks.
Oh, that'd be a first.
I Wish I Win. We've always had a very big opinion, and this looks like the perfect profile for the Toorak Handicap. So no question marks for me. Clearly on top, I Wish I Win.
I've got one line. I Wish I Win because there's absolutely no reason not to back him, not even the barrier. Mitho, before we get Moods, are you in the I Wish I Win camp?
Well, I just want to know what Luke Nolan's doing to ride 54 and a half because he hasn't been able to get down to that weight for a very, very long time. So that sort of enthusiasm for weight loss inspires me to be all chips in. I Wish I Win. How's Lukey going for you?
He had lipo on Tuesday, Mitho.
chopped a leg off from the knee. How's he going, Pete?
Mate, he's in great order. He's come off that win at Sandown last start.
No, not the horse. Poor old Lukey Nolan, who's chopped a leg off.
Yeah, no. Well, listen, he's in good order too. He's known this sort of weight range for this horse for probably since he won first up. What was that? Probably some 6 weeks ago, and he was certainly going to be every bit a part of the horse going forward. He was going to make sure of that. By hook or by crook. So the horse has done everything asked of him. If you feel his form's good enough to win, he wins. I've been very pleased with him at home. I think he's going to be better suited back to the mile. We dropped him back to the 1,300 the other day. The turn of foot there that he showed at the end of that was very pleasing. I am a little bit guarded with this horse on genuine sort of if the track got worse than soft. I think the Savabil stock appreciate a little bit of firm footing. Yeah, he had two wins on soft, but that turn of foot that he showed on a good four the other day, that was pretty special in running down the Mick Price horse, whose name just escapes me. I don't see the barrier as an issue. I see this race being run at a good gallop with the likes of Tuvalu, Gentleman Roy, Banker's Choice and so on. He'll probably be three deep in the running line, second half, peel to the centre of the track, and if he quickens like he has his last two, he's going to take a hell of a lot of beating. So chips in for me on I Wish I Win.
Here we have a mate dedication from Cam to Eddie. Over to you, Cam.
Thanks, champ. This is for my best mate, Eddie. He backed the rough in our pot and it got up for the lads.
Great stuff. And don't forget to labbroke it together this spring carnival with Mates Mo.
Thank you for being a friend. Thank you for being a friend.
T's and C's apply and available on website. Gamble responsibly. Call 1-800-858-858.
Okay, it's best bets time. And if you've followed the best bets last week, you've had a reasonable day, albeit my best bet didn't keep us pretty bloody short. Did win, though. She's lickety split from Rayman. Got up. Aditi in the first, ran second. I think, Mitho, you said each way from memory. Moods, you definitely said each way on Red Sun Sensation, who, geez, I would have been able to buy some pretty cool stuff if Red Sun Sensation had got up on Saturday, but ran second. Rayman, you kick us off with your best this week, and obviously you can start with your pat on the back for yourself, which we know you love to do.
Well, I was just going to say, it was very remiss of you not to pump Rayman's tyres up, tipping the three Group 1 winners in Sydney last weekend. He's on fire, the big man, not only in the serving barn, but also tipping form. So let's hope he can tip the three Group 1 winners at Caulfield, and I hope he does because one of them's mine.
Thank you, Moods. I'm glad that I'm finally getting the recognition. Roger, very quick to chime in when I'm out of form, but when I'm in form, he just goes a bit quiet.
Do you reckon Moose remembered that what your tips were for last weekend, or did he have to rely on the fact that you're pumping yourself up off air?
I knew straight away.
He knew deep down. But for the best bet Saturday, we've got a Caulfield, the lucky last, race 10, number 3, Zapateo. This mare's got Chain of Lightning form, which is a strong form. Comes out of that Hound now, where she won in a pretty impressive fashion, really. She makes her own luck on the speed. She'll go forward from barrier 12. Soft track, heavy track is no problem at all. She does like the sting out of the track. And this race, the Norfolk Plume Stakes, is nowhere near as strong as the Hound now. So I think she'll be very tough to beat. Little bonus tip as well. Lavish Girl comes out of that same Hound now, runs in the Silver Eagle in Sydney. She's $11. She's a much better chance than that price suggests. So best bet for me, Caulfield race 10, number 3, Zapateo.
I don't like to go against a horse wearing the Rosemont red, especially when it's trained by PJ Moody. But especially when that horse is Nanagai, who was so good to us, winning at massive odds last start. But I marked Kin after its last run when it ran into all sorts of trouble and still worked home well, untouched, to finish fifth. With any luck in a very open race, I think Kin can absolutely win this at about 6-1.
This is absolutely disgraceful, Roger, after how good Nanagai was to us last start. And if you've done the form properly, you'll see Nanagai's $8.50, a remarkable price. It's double. It's the second best bet of the day, Nanagai. That's ridiculous.
Anyway, very disappointing, Rog, and that'll be the last time you get the A set from me. I'm going to leave Peter's chat about Nanagai, and I'm going to head to Sydney because with three Group Ones on the card and the greatest days racing at Caulfield, I think Randwick's certainly going to be a little overshadowed, and you might miss the resumption of a little mare called Promise of Success. And she is $7 in the Nivison Stakes, their race 5 at Randwick. She is flying, Mr. Davis, and she can win this quite comfortably and skip into the Invitational, whatever it's called, a couple of million bucks worth of race in a couple of weeks' time as one of the prime picks. And that would be fantastic for my long range punting forecasting, given I've got a couple of tickets in the Ladbrokes account there on Promise of Success in the Invitation. Promise of Success, race 5, number 7. And we do just have a little interest too in Sydney if you're betting in the Silver Eagle on a horse that was extremely impressive first up. We might have been recording the show, I think. I was at the pub trying to record a show, watch races, drink beer. It was very, very sort of typical Mytho Wednesday afternoon stuff. And Lock Eagle came from way back at Canterbury to storm down the outside and win pretty impressively, and was a little unexpected from the stable. They felt once he got over a trip, up over 1400 and further, that he'll be at his more competitive, but he's flying that horse. So you can have a little ticket on Lock Eagle in the Silver Eagle as well. Peter, how are you going to go on the weekend?
Well, I think we've got a bit of a mixed bag. I think we can run very well. I'm in agreement with Rain Man there in race 3, Nanagai for the stable. She's in great form, this filly. I think the form around is very strong. I can't quite understand the market, why she is $8.50. I'm quite bemused by that, but maybe smarter people set those markets than I. But it's sell the farm stuff and bet each way for sure. This filly's had 5 starts, 3 wins in stakes races, a maiden, and then won a stakes race at a last start.
Are you saying, Moots, are you saying chips in each way?
Yeah, most definitely. Most definitely. Outside of bad luck.
Tell me a thing.
And I think she's one that the soft ground probably won't worry. So, no, I think she's there to run enormous. Race 3, horse 3, Denegai. I see that as quite disparaging, that quote. Yeah, well, never mind. We got the 21s last start. We'll be happy to take the 850s this time. My old mate Oxley Road, well, hasn't he had a quiet spring? He lines up in the Scalacci Stakes for his third run of the preparation, race 6, number 8. And I say it again, and you'll be sick of hearing it. He is absolutely flying this colt, but he does need a good four, so he will not be going to the races unless he receives it. I got burnt at Mooney Valley last time, thinking the track was better than it was. That won't be the case this time. And this is a race from one alley. He can suck up, be third defence, if not in front, control it and win it. If he does present, his chances of being there are probably minimal. Just reiterating, Alligator Blood, I thought I was with in the big one. I Wish I Win is in great order in the Turak. Mullane, another one of my gallopers that's been hampered by wet tracks. If he takes his place in the Caulfield Guineas, he will run extremely well. My best for the weekend, I can't go past Nanagai at $8.50, team. I thought she was a 3-to-1 chance. I know these races are very open, but for a filly with her form profile, I believe she's in better order than she won a stakes race last start. She heads there a bigger, stronger, and stupid to say in the space of 4 weeks, but a more mature filly. So,
way to go, Paula.
Way to go. Way to go, Paula. Is she in anywhere?
She's in Adelaide, just if you're interested.
And Philip Stokes is traveling to Adelaide, he told me this morning too, so it might be worth watching the Rosemont Red on Way to Go, Paula, team. So good luck, good punting, good health, and more importantly, let fast horses run fast.
Ladbrokes.